Welcome to the God Reigns Sportscast. This is Cody Almanzar. I'm the host of this new podcast. This is the first episode, and some of you, probably everybody who's listening to this right now, remembers me from the Ordinary Pastor podcast. We're friends either through Facebook or real friends, which means that we're friends in real life. Maybe there's somebody here listening right now who is not familiar with me. Let me just go ahead and introduce myself then. I am a bivocational pastor. I pastor Grace Family Church in Canyon City, Colorado. I work at the post office. I have a very large family with a lot of little kids running around, which was kind of a motivation to start this podcast, this particular one, where we're discussing sports. And we're going to be discussing basically all sports except women's sports and NASCAR. Now, I know that might upset some people just hearing that we're not going to be talking about women's sports, but the reason being, and my guest is my brother actually tonight, and I'll introduce him in a minute, but the reason being we're not talking about women's sports is because I could not tell you who won the WNBA championship last year. I could not name a WNBA championship MVP. I don't know if I could name a single player in the WNBA, and any other sport they have is what? Tennis and golf? And one of the Williams sisters is going to win the tennis thing, so we don't even need to talk about them. Name a woman's golfer. I don't know any. Do you know any, Jordan?
No, Tigress Woods, maybe? I don't know any.
Tigress Woods, that's right. And she's fallen off the wagon a little bit lately. So we don't know anybody. Now, I'm recording not in a studio, but in my son's room, so you might hear some kids screaming in the background. But anyways, that's kind of my background. And for a couple years, I did the Ordinary Pastor podcast, where I interviewed close to 200 people, just talking about the the various aspects of ministry. And it was a good podcast. I enjoyed doing it. I met a lot of cool people through that, but just had to stop for a little bit at that point. I wasn't ready to keep going with it. And so I started this new podcast because I'm an avid sports fan. And there's a lot of guys who I know who are, and there just wasn't a good presence, I didn't think, for us who are Christians, when it comes to sports casts. There just wasn't one. If there is, it's very limited. So I didn't know of one, so I thought I'd start one. And here we are. So tonight, my guest, I said, is my brother, Jordan Almanzar. Jordan, why don't you give us a little background information on yourself, and then we'll get into talking about sports, because there is a lot of things to talk about tonight. So go ahead, Jordan, and thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you for asking me. I'm honored to be the first guest. I think you chose the wrong brother, though, because Jonathan and even Spencer, I think, are up in the current sports takes a little more than I am, but I enjoy sports as well. So I'm glad you asked me. So I'm a Latin teacher. I teach Latin online, and I live in Kentucky now, but I lived in Germany for 10 years, and that's why I was a little bit out of the loop of what's going on in sports in the U.S., but I did follow the teams that I like, and I just wasn't able to catch a lot of live games like I would have liked to. And so I'm kind of outdated. I still think of the Marshall Faulk days and trying to draft him in fantasy football, things like that. But I'm catching up. This has been my first year back, first football season back. So I'm starting slowly but surely to catch up with things.
And that was kind of something you talked about too, was being out of the loop a little bit with sports. But I figure since we're keeping it fairly limited tonight to what we're going to talk about, you are up to date on these things, because basically what's happening right now in the sports world is what everybody's talking about is the WNBA champion. It's the NFL playoffs, right? The NFL playoffs. Nobody cares about the WNBA championship. I don't even know when that is. But the NFL playoffs are right here, right now. And for whatever reason, you are a Dallas Cowboys fan, grew up in Colorado. Same with me, except I am a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so I'm kind of enjoying this playoff season more than others because I don't have to watch the Steelers lose to terrible teams. So I'll go first. I'll explain why I'm a Steelers fan. And then being in Colorado, because I love the Rockies, I love the Nuggets, I love the Avalanche, I love every other Colorado team except the Broncos, and I hate them. But the reason why I'm a Steelers fan is because when I grew up as a little kid, I loved the Buffalo Bills, and I don't even know why, if it was Buffalo Bill Cody. I don't know why I liked the Bills. I just did. Maybe you know why I liked them.
I'm guessing it's because of Cody. That's my guess, because you liked him when you were super young, and maybe the name.
Yeah, that had to be it, because I mean, I loved the team. They were so good back then, too, with Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas and Bruce Smith and Cornelius Bennett and all those guys, Andre Reed, Don Beebe, the list could go on and on. But I got sick of seeing them lose the Super Bowl 4 years in a row, you know, and then Scott Norwood misses that kick and I burned his card and dad got mad at me for burning his card. But I hated him so much. And so I couldn't take it anymore because I kept thinking, I can't do this. So I was looking for a team to like. And that was the year that I really started liking the Steelers, was when they drafted Cordell Stewart, who was the CU Buffs quarterback, obviously. And I was told, I don't know that this is true, I haven't fact checked it, but that at that moment, the Steelers had the most CU Buffs of any professional team in the NFL at that time. And that's why I started liking them.
That makes sense. And the thing with the Bills being good and you liking them sort of at the same time, probably because think about how limited it was then, the teams that you could watch. Yeah. So like, you know, they would show, we barely had any channels. The Broncos were on every week, of course. Cowboys are on a lot everywhere usually. And so I saw them, but I would imagine the Bills going deep into the playoffs, going to the Super Bowl a lot. You saw them on TV more than other teams, and then the same with the Steelers in those years. Probably they got a lot of exposure too and nationwide. So you saw two alternatives to the Broncos.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's very true. And those teams, I mean, the Bills, you know, have kind of fallen off since then. They've been in a rebuilding year ever since that last Super Bowl they lost. But the Steelers, yeah, they're my team, and I love the Steelers through and through. But why don't you tell us, Jordan, why you are a Dallas Cowboys fan?
Well, for me, it was because of Dad, really, and he had lived in Texas, and then our roots are New Mexico, which people from New Mexico are seems like either Cowboys or Broncos fans, since they don't have a team, you kind of choose. So I didn't, you know, and then Dad, because he had lived in Texas and in the 70s and all that, so he brought that sweet goodness to us, and he had the Dallas Cowboy Weekly newspaper that came out. It was like five pages or something of Dallas Cowboy news all the time, and so I would read that, and I liked the Cowboys, and I was sort of the same thing too. They were really good in those years in the early and mid 90s. And, that's when I really latched on to the Cowboys. And then in another way, maybe, you know, cause I'm like you, I like all Colorado sports, but there was something about being somewhat subversive, maybe against like the fan base of the Broncos that I also enjoyed. I don't know why I don't feel it in the other sports. The Rockies came along later, though. I remember when we got the Rockies, and so they weren't like tainted with this whole, what I thought was like an annoying fan base or whatever. It was all brand new. But Nuggets, I mean, I liked them from the beginning. Avalanche, they came a little bit later as well, and I latched onto them. But normally, because you probably have to justify why you're such a Steelers fan a lot, you know, like I imagine people all ask you that. They do sometimes with the Cowboys, but I mean, there's so many Cowboys fans everywhere. But when I get asked, I usually just say Well, the two things I did, because my dad had lived in Texas, and then he became a big fan, so I watched him with him. And then also that New Mexico connection, I think, is part of it.
And you've been a Dallas fan forever, as far as I can remember.
I don't remember. I guess when I was really young, I remember liking the Saints for when they were terrible. And it's just because I like underdogs a lot. And, which has been good because Cowboys are usually underdogs now. but I felt sorry for the Saints from some, we had an old like NFL Films video from like sometime in the '80s, I think it was. And I felt sorry for the Saints. So there was a moment where I tried to distinguish myself from Dad and Jonathan, our older brother. I guess I was always a Cowboys fan, except for a little bit of pulling for the Saints, which I hate now.
Well, and those roles are kind of reversed, because doesn't Jonathan like the Saints a little bit now?
I don't know if he really does. I know he likes Drew Brees, but he's silver and blue through and through. You know, even like he can appreciate, from what I can tell, he can appreciate certain players or even certain teams at times. But he would never, you know, betray us like that.
Well, speaking of underdogs, like you brought up, let's talk a little bit about the playoffs now, because they're right here. And unfortunately, I missed the first week of the playoffs with this podcast by a week. I was really trying to get it out before then, but just certain circumstances, I couldn't get it done. But now that we're here, we're in round two, which starts on Saturday, which is crazy to me already. You know, it's going to be round two of the playoffs, in NFL playoffs. It seems like it just started. But there is some good news even after the Super Bowl, because we have the AAF, the Alliance of American Football, starting up, which I'm excited about. I really am. It'll give me somebody to be excited about, since the Steelers don't ever win anything anymore.
But you're going to watch it, or have you watched it, or is it new? I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it here towards the end of the podcast a little bit, because it is new. There's only 8 or 10 teams in it, but it looks pretty cool. So what we have coming up on Saturday, let's go ahead now and start with your picks from Saturday's games. We have two games being played, and we'll start with the earliest. Obviously, we have Indianapolis, because they blew out Houston in that first round, 21-7. You know, Houston did not look good. Indianapolis looked really good. But the Colts move on, and they're facing the Chiefs in Arrowhead Stadium. Now, the Chiefs open up as the favorite by 5.5 points, I think, or something like that. I saw it earlier. I don't remember. But they open up as the favorite anyways over the Colts. But what would you say, looking at that game, I don't know, did you even watch the Colts in Houston at all, or did you not get to see that game?
I saw most of the game, yeah.
Okay, so seeing the Colts play, knowing about Andrew Luck and his resilience, I mean, you talked to me before we started recording about the disappointment you saw with the Colts and the Cowboys, but what would you say going into Arrowhead? They say that's one of the toughest places to play in all of football, the Chiefs and Colts. Who are you picking there?
I'm picking the Colts, and a lot of people that I've told this to, everyone basically disagrees with me. But I'm picking the Colts. I think the Colts are playing pretty relaxed. They have a lot less to lose. You know, they're built for the future. And, I think, also the pressure has got to be on Andy Reid. You know, he can't suffer another first game in the playoff loss sort of thing. And then when you have somebody as hyped up as Mahomes, and he's got all the expectations, and he's in his second year. Yeah. And, I as good as he seems and as talented as he seems to me, I don't know if I'm fully bought into him as like a long term going to be able to keep up this pace. And I wonder if in a moment like this, and partially I'm still, yeah, I've got a bad taste in my mouth from the Colts. I think that from the Cowboy game. So they seem like the kind of team that could come in there and get business done. They're not afraid. They play in the, you know, they're I think they have a lot less pressure, and that says a lot in the playoffs. If you can, and they played a game, they handled their business last week, and so I think that they can take that momentum. And they're tough. They're just a good team all the way around. A tough, tough team. And I wonder if they can cause fits for the Chiefs this weekend. So I'm taking the Colts.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick, and I would go with the Colts as well this week. I'm going with the Colts because the Chiefs have the worst defense in all of football, and so they have to score 35 plus points a game to win. Now they can do it; they can score that many, but I think that you take Andrew Luck's toughness and you take the toughness of Frank Reich, who I love. And all those guys, and it's just boiled over into their team. And I feel like the momentum's there with Indianapolis. And, I think that they will win that game. And it's interesting too that you said that about Mahomes, because this is his second year, but it's really only his first year playing. Last year, Kansas City still had Alex Smith. And so this is his first year playing. And you were talking about him keeping up the pace, and what we see often is these guys come in their rookie season, Dak Prescott, some of these guys like that who shine so big in their rookie season, then there's a fall off in their second year because teams have tape on them then and they make adjustments. It's not like college where you get, Jamarcus Russell who dominates every year that he's there, or you get a Kyler Murray or somebody like that who can dominate. And in the NFL, they make better adjustments. The coaches are better. The players are better. Everything's better. And so that second year is hard. So even next year, going into next year with Mahomes, it'll be interesting to see if he can keep up this pace. You know,
well, I feel like too, like he's not the same kind of player at all as Cam Newton. But that year that Cam Newton went on that crazy run and seemed unstoppable, you know, and they went all the way to the Super Bowl. But we remember what happened, how he sort of collapsed in the Super Bowl. I don't know enough about Mahomes to see if he's that kind of a guy. Probably a lot of the listeners, especially people who bought into him, would hate that comparison. But, you know, when there's these guys that come out that are so flashy and hot for a year like this, I just kind of doubt them. And if they were matched up even with the Chargers, I think I'd be picking the Chiefs over the Chargers. But, you know, the Colts have scared me. I think the Colts can do it.
Yeah, I do too. And it's interesting also that you said that they would hate that comparison between Mahomes and Cam Newton, because they love the comparisons between Mahomes and Kermit the Frog. Have you seen those? Yeah, they've always got those memes out with him and Kermit the Frog. And he does sound like him. I like Mahomes, man. I hope he does well, but I just don't know if he can keep that up. But I would go with Indianapolis there. So we would both say the Colts take Kansas City in Kansas City. So the later game, this is the one you're really going to be invested in on Saturday, and that is the Cowboys and the Rams. And I think the Rams open up as a favorite in that one.
7 points is what it is now.
Yeah, 7 point. Okay, I see it there now. 7 point favorite, the Rams in Los Angeles, where they can hold like 15 people in the stadium, I guess, or something like that. They said there's not too many people that fit in those stadiums there or go. Maybe that's for the Chargers. I don't know. Anyways. Who are you picking there, Dallas and the Rams at 8:15? I'm guessing that's Eastern time.
Yeah, it's Eastern time. I'll be up late again watching it. I'm definitely picking Dallas. And I would pick, well, I don't know. I haven't bought into the Rams either. You know, they had that drop off at the end of the year. Apparently Goff is not as good as everyone had hoped. So I think Dallas will be able to stop them defensively. And I don't know that it'll be where they just handle the Rams like I wish they would, possibly even a blowout. But I think it'll be a closer game than that, but it'll be definitely Dallas manhandle them on both sides of the ball the whole time. They'll beat them in every dimension except for special teams, because we're always terrible on special teams this year. But That's my pick. I think Dallas will get it done.
Yeah, I do too. I think Dallas will win that game. And the Rams are the number two seed there. I thought for some reason I was thinking they were number one, but now I'm remembering that New Orleans was number one, that game with Pittsburgh that they won was the one that sealed that for them. But yeah, I think Dallas will beat the Rams as well. Gurley's coming back though. I just saw that. I don't know if you saw that. Gurley's going to be back after a 2-game absence. And he killed me. He killed my fantasy football team. I was in the championship and he killed me because he didn't play. And, idiot. And then I lost. But yeah, he's back, but I'm picking Dallas too. I think their defense is better than the Rams offense. And I think their offense is good enough to score more points, even if it's just field goals. I think that they will beat the Rams.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will be thankful in a way too, because, you know, the Rams, they're very showy now that they're in LA and all that. And I saw this, segment with Jason Whitlock earlier, and he was saying he's giving the Cowboys 75% chance to win. And a lot of it was because he was saying he wants to spite the people that think that, like, Sean McVay is everything, that, you know, every team needs to have a Sean McVay there. So I'm kind of slow with like adapting to the newer guys, the newer schemes, this sort of thing. I'm more of a traditionalist. I mean, it's taken me the whole year, and I'm not even 100% sure that I'm sold on Dak yet, even, you know. I've been wishing Romo was 10 years younger and that it was him there. But, I know a lot of Cowboys fans wouldn't agree with me on that at all. They couldn't stand his turnovers and things like that. But I just, you know, so if, but Dak is really, maybe he's the guy. It seems like the players think so, which if the players think so, if they've bought into it, and it seems like they have, that makes a world of difference, I think, in the playoffs.
Yeah. And if anybody hears something that we say tonight, and obviously we're going to have more segments in this podcast than just the NFL playoffs. And as a matter of fact, towards the end of the podcast, we're going to get to the segment that I call Loser of the Week, where if you disagree with something we say, or if you have something to add, or if you just want to be on the podcast and I don't invite you on, there is a place on anchor.fm/GodReignsSportsCast that you can go on and record a live message and send it, and it can get played on the podcast. I will hear it, and if I can't play it on the podcast, I'll read it out loud, unless there's bad language in it, then I won't. But you can tell us why we're wrong in these picks. You can tell Jordan why Dak is the guy and Romo should stay in the booth. You can say those things on there and they'll get played. This isn't a place where it's just a monologue. I want there to be a dialogue between the listeners and us as well on here. So feel free to chime in on that message board. But still, then that's just the Saturday game. So we've got the Colts and the Chiefs. We both picked the Colts. We've got the Cowboys and the Rams. We've both picked the Cowboys to move on. Then we'll start with the early game on Sunday, and we got the Chargers versus the Patriots in Foxborough. You were telling me earlier that Phillip Rivers has never beat Brady. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So let's go there, because the Patriots open up as only a 4-point favorite in Foxborough, which is pretty surprising to me. But go ahead, take your pick there. Who are you picking, the Chargers or the Patriots?
This is just a gut feeling. I have a gut feeling it's going to be the Chargers this year. I think they're going to get it done. I think they have everything in place to actually do it. The Patriots seem thin to me. And even though they've got to go to the exact opposite corner of the continent to play this game, I think it's the Chargers' turn. I think they're going to win this game.
I do too, man. I'm picking the Chargers this one too, because of the toughness of Phillip Rivers. He's not scared to go in places. It seems like their team is resilient. I don't think the Patriots are as good as they've been in years past. I think Brady's slowing down. Gronk is definitely slowing down, man. I'm surprised he hasn't been playing with a walker lately, man. That guy is getting beat up out there. Because you think about it, here's a guy, I don't know how long he's played, 8, 10 years, something like that, but he's so big. I just sound like Chris Collinsworth, huh? Now here's a guy who, every time you watch him, I can't watch him with sound on, but Gronk is this massive human, and everybody takes their best shots at Gronk. Everybody hits him. as hard as they can every time he comes across the middle, and he's done it for years, and he's just getting worn down. His body's wearing out. He's slowing down, you know, and I just feel like their defense is not good enough to stop the Chargers. I do feel like the Chargers defense is good enough to make a couple stops against the Patriots, and I'm pulling for an upset. I think most of America would agree with us and wants to see the Chargers beat the Patriots, except those people in New England.
Yeah, I think so too. I think people are sort of have Patriots fatigue in a way. And like, there's something you can appreciate always about Belichick and even Brady, that they can keep stringing these kind of seasons together and even playoff runs and things like that. But I'm definitely tired of it. I've been tired of them for 10 years, so I would love to see them get beat. And I hope they do, and I'm picking them to get beat.
Every year, man, I want to hear that Brady retired. You know, I'm just waiting for him to retire.
At this point, I feel a little different. Like, I watched, I don't know if you saw that documentary that he was putting together that had, like, some of those kind of weird scenes and stuff in it. But there was something else about it where I admired him more than I thought I would, because I've always hated him. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like it was with Brett Favre. Like, I hated Brett Favre when he was young, when he was still like the kid of the league. But as he got older, I started to respect him more. I feel somewhat that way about Brady until I watch him play. Like, on paper and like as a story, it's easier. But like, once the game starts and if I see him playing, I always want him to get something bad happening to him, you know, not getting hurt necessarily, but, throwing a pick or trying to see him make a tackle after he throws an interception. Like, that's a fun part of watching the Patriots. But other than that, when I watch him, I wish him ill will.
I always want to hear that he's retired. Every time I see him, every time I hear about him, everything, I'm thinking, man, I just want him to go already. I'm tired.
Hey, speaking of your buddy, Chris Collinsworth, I was reading the other day that it was some years ago, but, he was in a restaurant right here on the river where I live, and it came like loose during a storm or something, and he had to get rescued, like, with the other people that were in the, it was floating down the river. Oh, yeah. And like, they had to stop it and get everyone off, and he happened to be there that night when it happened.
Wow. I wonder if he announced the whole thing too. Now here's a guy who knows how to rescue people on the river.
What you don't want to do is be in a restaurant on a river during a storm.
Oh, man. All right. So we both are picking the Chargers. So that side of the bracket set, we've got Colts Chargers facing off January 20th. Now, the other side of the game, or the other side of the bracket then, for these playoffs, we have the Eagles and the Saints. And the Saints open up as an 8-point favorite. Cousin Joe commented on that question I asked in the Facebook group, and he said the Saints will win by double digits. You disagree with that, and go ahead and tell me your pick for that game.
Yeah, because I think that's just more of the bias against the NFC East. You know, like, they act like our division is the worst division in football. Cowboys were ranked the worst team in the playoffs this start, even though they won their division. You know, even though Baltimore was there. So I think there's some kind of bias. Maybe it's because it generates headlines or whatever. I think you could throw out the game where the Saints beat the Eagles by 40 points or whatever it was. And that's what the Eagles have done. They threw that game out. The Eagles are scary to me. I didn't want them to get in the playoffs because they terrify me, to be honest. That's a team that I'm worried of that will end up playing. Now, the only thing I think is, so I am picking the Eagles. What would be good for the Cowboys if we face the Eagles is that we'll get a home game. We beat them twice this year. And, you know, I hate the odds of having to beat a team three times in a year, especially returning Super Bowl champs who have all of that experience. That's scary. But I think that they're going to surprise the Saints. I think that the Saints do a lot of little dump passes and things like that that can be schemed for. And if anyone can do it, it's the Eagles. Sort of like what the Cowboys did when they played the Eagles. We went in there and like we said, we were going to choke them out, and that's what we did. I think the Eagles have a similar mentality, and I feel like the Eagles are going to get it done. They're 8-point underdogs, I saw. So it's the biggest spread of the four games this week. But even so, I'm picking the Eagles, possibly wanting to jinx myself so we don't have to play them. But either one is bad. You know, have to play the Eagles again or to have to go to New Orleans to play them. For my pick, I think it's going to be a tight game, one that could go maybe either way, but I think the Eagles will do it in the end.
I'm going to disagree there. I'm going to go with New Orleans in this one. I think that when Sean Payton brought out, did you hear all that stuff? He brought out the trophy and all that cash and told the guys, you just win 3 games and you can have this.
No, I didn't hear about that.
He brought out the a Lombardi trophy, brought out $225,000 of cash and set it down in front of his team. And he said, you guys want this? Just win 3 bleeping games. And they apparently went crazy about it. But I feel like they're going to be motivated to win this game because of what happened to them last year with the Vikings, when the Vikings had that walk-off touchdown, which was awesome. But I feel like they will beat the Eagles this week. I don't think it's going to be a double-digit thing, though. I think it's going to be a tight game, but I think they will pull it out and advance there. So on that side of the bracket, you have Dallas and Philly, and then the other side of the bracket's the same, Colts and Chargers. Now, why don't you give us then your Super Bowl picks out of Dallas and Eagles, Colts and Chargers? Who are you picking for the Super Bowl, and who is your Super Bowl champ this year?
So I'll say up front, Cowboys Super Bowl champs. The way they do it is they beat Philadelphia in a tough game in Dallas to advance. And then on the other side, I'm picking the Colts. I think the Colts are primed to do it. And so if they win this weekend, like I picked, I think they'll have the taste for it. They're going to say, why wait till next year? We can do it right now. We're this close. And, I think that they'll do it. So then they'll have to play the Chargers. I guess that would be in Indy, right?
No, that'll be in Los Angeles.
What?
Yeah, Colts are 6th seed, Chargers are 5th seed.
Okay. They've just been on such a run. I'm gonna say it's gonna be the Colts and the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think that I keep going back and forth between the Chargers and Colts. I want it to be the Colts. I don't know. Phillip Rivers is at that stage in his career where I feel like he could will them to win. And I know that sounds weird, but I think he can do it. But I'm going to go with the Colts and the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys knock off the Saints again. I think the Saints will be frustrated playing the Cowboys because the Saints are those teams that score, you know, 40 points a game, something like that. And these guys can't do that against Dallas. And I think that's going to be frustrating to them. And again, I think Dallas narrows that down. I think they play the Colts. I think the Colts could beat the Chargers and advance. And I'm going to pick the Colts to win it because they remind me so much of Pittsburgh the year that Pittsburgh won against – well, I don't even remember who that was, if it was against Arizona or Seattle. But the year they came in as the 6th seed and they went on that roll and they just won every game on the road and then they ended up winning the Super Bowl that year. That's – that toughness and that resilience reminds me of Pittsburgh – that when they won that. So I'm going to – that would have been – yeah, that was Arizona because Jerome Bettis was still there.
Well, I think the Colts are like 10-1 since they've gone like on almost a 10-game win streak. They have one loss in there to the Jaguars, and it was 6-0, a super low-scoring game. Yeah. But I didn't say why I think Dallas would beat the Colts if they rematch. And if you watch that Dallas and Colts game, Dallas got shut out. But they had their chances early and they didn't capitalize, or as Jason Garrett says, they didn't cash in. They made a lot of mistakes in the red zone and then they sort of gave up. They weren't at that moment playing for anything. They'd locked up the division, or they were in complete control of the division. And, so they just sort of, took a week off, which was really dumb. Yeah. But there were a few moments in that game where it felt like it could go either way. And, so I think if Dallas gets on this run and gets into the Super Bowl, then I'm gonna say that they're gonna correct those things and they'll be so hyped up, they'll be in on it. So this one I think will be a close game as well. I don't think Dallas is gonna blow out anybody. I think all their games, like the whole season, are gonna be close games. It'll be all just controlling by keeping drives alive and then getting the Colts off the field, which they weren't really able to do very well in that first matchup. But the game was over and they had sort of just quit. So that's my prediction for how this Super Bowl will go down.
Well, that's it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, man, because there, like we were saying earlier, there is no clear-cut favorite, I don't think, in all of the NFL, even from week one of the NFL playoffs. I did not think that any team was the clear-cut favorite out of either the AFC or the NFC to win their division nor the Super Bowl. I feel like these teams are very evenly matched across the board. There's just not one dominant team, I don't think.
No, not like it has been in years past. Vegas would disagree with all of the picks that I just made. I mean, they did. So like if the odds makers, or however it works, you know, how it always falls close to what the odds say, or it does typically very, very often, it's super close to that. Then we may be totally wrong and you'll be having a completely different kind of discussion next week with a guest, because all the teams could be out. That's the weird thing. You know, we've taken them 3 weeks ahead and each one of them could be gone after Sunday.
Yeah. And that's very true. And that's what I've got a guest coming on, Sunday night, who I think is along the same lines as us in our picks.
During the game or they'll come afterwards?
Yeah, after the game. So we'll get it right afterwards. We're going to record. So that way, he's a Cowboys fan too. So if the Cowboys lose, I want it to be fresh in his memory and, stinging still a little bit, so it's more of a rod reel.
if it played out the exact opposite this weekend, like we don't have to go through all the games, but then I would go Saints and Chiefs would be my pick. Like if all of my underdogs lose like they're supposed to this weekend, I would go Saints Chiefs, and I would be it'd be a boring Super Bowl for me.
So what you're saying is you don't think it. Like in either of your scenarios, the Rams will make it.
I don't know. I think if the Rams beat the Cowboys, they'll go to New Orleans and lose for sure. And then I think if the Chiefs are left against the Patriots, I think they would torch the Patriots.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope the Patriots don't make it in any scenario. And I think you're right. I think that the Rams won't make it past New Orleans if they make it past Dallas.
Then in the Super Bowl, so if it was that matchup, I think I'd go Chiefs too over New Orleans.
And one of the things, yeah, I think you're right with that too. I think I would take the Chiefs over New Orleans. I think the Chiefs offense is high powered enough to keep up the pace with New Orleans. And I think they could pull it out at the end. I think you get guys like Tyreek Hill who are so freakishly fast, you know, and you get him the ball. Stuff like that. I think they would be. I think they could do it. I think they could pull that out against New Orleans. Now, what we've seen in the NFL, switching gears a little bit from playoff picks, Super Bowl picks, but staying in the NFL for now, because we're going to move on to the NCAA, and then we'll wrap things up with our loser of the week. But what we've seen so far in the NFL is a bunch of head coaches fired and a bunch of head coaches hired. Now, you might not know some of these names. Some of them you will, but we're gonna talk about it because what we've seen are vacancies in coaching in with the Packers, the Cardinals, the Buccaneers, the Browns, the Broncos, the Jets, the Bengals. You know, we've seen these guys who have these vacant coaching spots, and we've seen names that are kind of surprising to me that have come in to coach. Now, just tell me if you recognize these names, and if you don't, I'll tell you who these guys are. I've got it pulled up right here in front of me. But what we have with the Packers, they fired Mike McCarthy. I guess that was long overdue, or they split ways. Their rumor was that Rodgers didn't like him and stuff like that. Who knows what goes on behind the doors. But anyways, Mike McCarthy's out as the coach. The Packers, which was one of the highest coveted jobs, I guess you could say, of the NFL, coaching the Packers, they bring in Matt LaFleur. Do you know Matt LaFleur?
No, I don't know Matt LaFleur.
Matt LaFleur was the Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator. Now, the Titans had the seventh worst offense of all the NFL. And that's who the Packers brought in. But listen to this, what this says here. Green Bay was LaFleur's only interview. LaFleur spent one season as Tennessee's offensive coordinator. The Titans hired him away from Los Angeles, where he was Sean McVay's offensive coordinator in 2017. So going back to what you were talking about, we still see that Sean McVay thing. LaFleur's young, too. I don't know how old he is for sure. But he's a younger guy, and they seem like they're trying to go for these young guns like a Sean McVay, these teams. How do you see that matching up then? And maybe you don't have an opinion on this, but how do you see somebody younger, new head coach, hasn't been a head coach before, coming in and to coach somebody like Aaron Rodgers, who's won a Super Bowl? He's compared to all the greatest of all time, and that could be a different discussion we could have on another episode sometime, but he's compared to all these greats. He seems to run Green Bay. How do you think somebody like a LaFleur would match up coaching Aaron Rodgers?
I think it'd be tough to coach Aaron Rodgers if you were anyone, really. I mean, he's an old dog set in his ways, and he's been given the crown for a decade or whatever, you know, as the greatest of all time and that kind of thing. I think it would be hard to do. It sounds to me like it'll be somewhat of Aaron Rodgers' team in a way until he retires. At least the offense, I don't know who he'll bring in his staff, Matt LaFleur, like who maybe somebody who's got a good relationship with Rodgers or whatever already, somebody who knows how to deal with a seasoned veteran like that. Yeah. It'd be interesting to know what Cousin Joe would say about this too. I don't know if you've talked to him yet about the Packers hire or not, but he's the biggest Packers fan I know, so he would be someone to get his opinion on that hire.
Yeah, I'm planning to have him on here sometime to talk about that, because I think that'd be interesting to hear what he says about LaFleur as well. I think, yeah, it's kind of like Luke Walton or that weird Miami Heat coach that was brand new trying to coach LeBron James. You know, like, it just doesn't happen. He controls it.
I don't know. Like, it seems in football, it would be a kind of a different thing, you know, cause you're like the general and there's so many levels between you and some of the players. So I would think staffing for him would be really important, who he gets there to deal directly with them. But, you know, there's always things like the Brady Belichick dynamic, which is rocky apparently and has been. So there is enough contact between the head coach and the quarterback, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point. Next we have on here, the Arizona Cardinals have filled their head coaching vacancy with Cliff Kingsbury. Do you know Cliff Kingsbury?
No, I don't know him either. I saw the name and I heard him talking about it earlier on the radio, but I don't know who he is.
He was a quarterback, for Texas Tech, and then he became their head coach after coaching career all over the place. But let me give you his coaching stats from Texas Tech, because that was kind of a weird hire. He went to he got fired from Texas Tech, went to USC to be their offensive coordinator. These teams were trying to hire him or interview him in the NFL, and USC initially denied access to him from these NFL teams. They weren't going to let him go interview, and then somehow he did and got the Arizona Cardinals coaching position. But let me read you his stats here from Texas Tech. He started coaching in 2013, and his team went 8-5. He coached Patrick Mahomes as well, but he went his team went 8-5 the first year. Pretty good. They went to the Holiday Bowl and they won it. The next year he went 4-8 in 2014. 2015, 7-6. They went to the Texas Bowl and lost. The next year, 2016, they were 5-7. 2017, 6-7. They went to the Birmingham Bowl and lost. 2018, he went 5-7. That was the final straw. They cut him out. He was ranked in the top 25 three times. His total win-loss record was 35-40 at Texas Tech. His win percentage was 467. And this is who the Arizona Cardinals, who are the worst team in the NFL, they have Josh Rosen as their quarterback, who I can't stand, but they brought him in to coach the Arizona Cardinals. Now, I know you don't know much about him, but just hearing these brief stats, what would be your initial thoughts there with Cliff Kingsbury?
I think it's a bad move. You said he was hired at USC and then
as the offensive coordinator at USC for he hadn't even started there, and then he left and coached.
Yeah, I don't like him already for doing that, and then for having a bad record and landing a good job like this. I mean, who does he know? Is he one of the guys like that knows Sean McVay? Because what I was telling you before, like the main thing I've heard about a lot of these young guys was somebody said, any connection to Sean McVay from the past, like you will get you an NFL job or whatever. Yeah. Do you know about that?
I don't know. I didn't dig deep enough. I saw where he had coached before as coordinators and whatever else he coached. They probably ran across paths somewhere, but I don't know that for sure. So I can't say, but, it would be interesting to find out though.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just from what you've said, I would say it's not that good of a pick. And I think I saw something earlier, Shannon Sharp or somebody who was disgusted by the hire for some reason, but it might have been because of that. I've heard of like rumors or whatever of thing like him getting the job at USC and then, leaving.
Yeah. It was weird, man. It was a weird hire. I was really surprised that NFL teams were targeting him for one thing, but he was my runner up for loser of the week, or actually the Cardinals were my runner up for hiring him for loser of the week. And, I will get to my real loser here in a minute, but all right. So moving on from Cliff Kingsbury, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who hired Bruce Arians. Do you know Bruce Arians?
Yeah, I do. Like, I know NFL guys a little better. Well, especially head coaches, you know.
I know him because he was there with Big Ben for a lot of years, really helped Big Ben out in his passing. Was a great coach there. I think that's actually a good hire by the Buccaneers. I'm surprised he went there, but I think that's a good hire.
Yeah, he wanted a new start, really, you know, because he's got a clean bill of health now, and like he just wanted to sort of start over. And maybe at his age, it'd be nice to be in Tampa Bay. And he was on I forget those documentaries they do about football teams.
Whatever it's talking about.
What is it? I don't know. I can't think of the name, but watching that, what is it?
It's not Hard Knocks, but it's that other one that,
was it not Hard Knocks? That's what I was thinking of, but maybe it's
it's the one on Prime. The Cowboys just had one on there too. And I can't think of what it's called. I watched it. I watched that whole thing with him.
Yeah. And I did too. And it made me like him more because wasn't the next year the Rams? Yeah. And that's when I first decided I didn't like Sean McVay very much, but,
But I liked him on there. I think he's a cool coach. I think the players like him a lot. I think he's smart, super dedicated, super experienced. So I hope he does well there. That's a good, I mean, it's kind of hard to say because it feels like Tampa Bay is a place to go for your football career to die, but it may be nice for him. Maybe he can turn them around somewhat. And, you know, I don't know. I think that was a good hire.
Yeah, I think it was good for them. He initially said that the only place he'd come back to coach were the Cleveland Browns. And I thought that was smart of him and them. I think the Browns are going to be good in the next few years. I think they've got a lot of good things in place. However, that transitions us to their new head coach, which is Freddie Kitchens. He was their offensive coordinator before. And the thing was, I think this is a decent hire by them. I'm not too familiar with Freddie Kitchens, but I do know that the Browns started putting up points the last seven games of the season, eight games of the season, something like that. Once they got rid of Hugh Jackson, you know, they started scoring and they started winning. And Freddie Kitchens was part of that. And the thing is they were saying, there were reports out saying that Baker Mayfield is hard to coach. Now, he disagrees with it, but there were reports out doing that, but obviously whatever Freddie Kitchens was doing with him as the offensive coordinator was working. And so I'm kind of excited to see what happens in Cleveland in the next year or two. I not for the sake of the AFC North, because Pittsburgh needs to be on top of that every year, but I'm excited to see what happens with them, because I don't hate them like I do the Ravens or other teams.
Or the Bengals, maybe. Yeah, he was good. I remember him. He was with Dallas, as a tight ends coach in the mid 2000s, I think. And, he was, you know, he was there for Jason Witten in the early years when Romo and Witten really got that connection going. My guess, I'm thinking he might have been a Parcells hire when he was at Dallas. And then he was in Arizona for some time, or I guess for the rest of the time. I don't think he's been anywhere else. Arizona. And then he went to and then he went to Cleveland. So I think that's a good one too. I like him. What I know about him, I just remember him a little bit from when he was in Dallas.
Yeah. And it's guys like this that I like initially, but I don't know how they're going to be as coaches, but it seems like he will be good. It seems like he's got experience. And if it is the case that Baker Mayfield is hard to coach, it would be cool to see a coach who's already been successful with him for some part of this season. I mean, coaching a super young team like the Browns and a rookie quarterback and doing well is, especially with the Browns, where that used to be the place where careers would go to die. You know, like that, that seems like it bodes well for him.
Yeah. I mean, it's social dynamics. It's like in being a teacher, sometimes I'll hear a student is a difficult student or whatever, but like they're not at all with me. They're like a really good student in my class, or vice versa. I have trouble with somebody that someone else can handle. Yeah. So sometimes, you know, maybe Baker Mayfield was hard to coach, depending on who was there trying to coach him. Maybe it'll be different.
Now, this moves us to another direction here, which is our home state of Colorado. We see the Denver Broncos hiring. I'm really glad for this hire. I don't think it's smart by them, from what I know, but I'm glad for the hire for two reasons. If it doesn't work out well, I'm glad. And Mike Munchak is now staying in Pittsburgh as up to this point. As the offensive line coach, and the offensive line has been incredible over the last 3 years. But that's who the Broncos had narrowed it down to, was Mike Munchak and the guy they hired, Vic Fangio. And he is their next head coach. It says here that he has a 4-year deal with a 5th-year option. Do you know anything about Vic Fangio? I know Jonathan is not a fan of him and said this was the worst hire out of all the coaches.
Oh, is that right? I don't know enough about him to say that. I just know he's old, and he hasn't been in the league that long for his age. You know, he looks like he's 80, but I think he's like in his early 60s, maybe. But no, I don't know much about him to say that. I don't like his face, I can tell you that. So I'm glad the Broncos hired him.
He does look old. It's like it's almost like Elway was thinking, okay, so we see Sean McVay being successful. Let's go the opposite direction in age and get somebody twice his age.
Yeah.
You know, that guy will be twice as successful then. All right. And now, finally, this brings us to my loser of the week. And we'll talk about this hire for a second, and then we'll let you say your loser of the week, because I'm excited about that, to hear your loser of the week. But this brings me to my loser of the week, and that is the New York Jets. They hired Adam Gase, who was the former head coach of the Miami Dolphins. So not only did they hire an in-division rivals coach, but he wasn't good. And so that's what I mean, the Jets have, I've hated them for so long, and I don't know why. There's no real reason other than the fact that they had Mark Sanchez, who I hated. He did the butt fumble there in New York. And they had, now they're hiring Adam Gase. And this is why. Let me read you some of these stats. This is my loser of the week, is the New York Jets. here, let me read you some of Adam Gase's statistics. So he coached 3 years, the Miami Dolphins. Now, he was in Denver as the offensive coordinator. He was in Chicago as the offensive coordinator in 2015. And you can see all the massive numbers the Bears put up. You know, they didn't put up any numbers in 2015. But here we go. The Dolphins, his first year, he was 38 years old, 2016, 10 wins, 6 losses. That's respectable. That's respectable that he would do that. 10 and 6, that's not bad. That's better than the Steelers did this year. 2017, he went 6 and 10. So he did a reverse there of his previous year. Then the last year, this year, he went 7 and 9 for a total of 23 wins and 25 losses, for a 479 win-loss percentage. Now, I understand some people think this is a decent hire by the Jets. I think it's terrible, because Miami's more talented than the Jets. Miami has better players than the Jets, and he couldn't win with them. He couldn't beat the Jets with Miami. You know, I think that this is a bad hire by the Jets. I'm happy to see it. I want them to be bad, but I think that this was a terrible hire. So, New York Jets, you are my loser of the week, and you deserve it, and I hope you lose every game next year. What is your thoughts on this Adam Gase?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird, because I was first hearing about it, it was Colin Cowherd talking about it being a great hire, but I initially thought that is strange to hire in the division a head coach too. You know, that always seems like it bodes bad, but they've seen him twice a year. You know, he's coached against them. So they must see something in him they like. I don't know enough about him really. I haven't followed him, his career, but from your stats, he doesn't sound like a winner.
No, he's not. And the Jets have, I don't know. When they hired Rex Ryan too, do you remember that, when they had Rex Ryan?
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Every year, man, he would come out and say, we're going to win the Super Bowl this year, like during the preseason. And then they would be terrible, or they would go far in the playoffs, but they would never get to the Super Bowl. And every year he would say, we're going to win the Super Bowl. That made me hate the Jets too. So maybe this is just bitterness spilling over from that time, but I do. I hate it. I think that is the worst move. That is my loser of the week, is the New York Jets. Now, you have a loser of the week, and we will end here. We're probably not going to get to – I wanted to ask you the question. Well, let's do that first. Let's do that first, and then we'll get to your loser of the week. And I'll restate my loser of the week one more time then too. But let's do this first before we ask the loser of the week, because I want to end on a loserish note. So the SEC football – I don't have the records right in front of me right now. I was having trouble finding it. SEC football. That's all you hear about when college football starts is SEC football. It's a different breed. They're bigger. They're faster. They're stronger. They're just better. It's the best division or the best conference in college football. We saw Clemson totally spank Alabama this year. We saw Texas dominate Georgia this year. Now, Florida did come back. They had a good year. They blew out whoever they played. Was it Michigan in their bowl game? I mean, they killed Michigan. But they every year the SEC is rated so high, and you see it throughout the season. I'll get to that because that's kind of my point in this too. But is SEC football overrated in your opinion, and why?
Yeah, it is overrated in my opinion. I mean, we kind of went over some of the bowls earlier before we started recording and the records that they have. And then you see what happened in the national championship, also getting destroyed by a non-SEC team. Yeah. And part of it, I think, is media driven because the fans in the South are so
rabid
and they'll pay so much money for gear. And like, I lived in Columbia, South Carolina for almost a year. And, I remember first time I met this guy and he had like a Gamecocks tattoo. And I was like, oh, did you study there? And he was like, no. Like, he didn't go to college at all. And there were people, everyone like that. I mean, everyone down there was like that, you know, and, they follow their teams, their diehard fans, and they pay a lot of money. Yeah. And I think that it's the money, you know, it's where the money is. And I don't think it's a guarantee. Like they say, if you get like an Alabama lineman, if you draft an Alabama lineman, that they're going to be successful in the NFL and all of that. Right. But you see these guys, I mean, going back to my Cowboys, you look at like Leighton Vander Esch, get a linebacker like that who was from 8-man football in Idaho.
Yeah.
And so, and playing for Boise State, walking on, that kind of thing. So, yeah. You know, I don't think it's, I think that the South, I think it's money driven. Those schools generate so much money. And the people don't even follow the players into the NFL typically. I met very few. I met some Falcons fans, a few people like that when I was in the South. But for the most part, there was no big, huge following of NFL teams. They put all their money, all their energy, everything into consuming the sports media surrounding their schools. So I think that's what it is. I do think they're overrated.
Yeah, I think what happens too, what I see happening there, I think you're right, media driven. Everybody fell in love with Alabama and Nick Saban. You know, the media falls in love with people so fast. Like Jonathan and I were talking, if this next year, should the Eagles trade Foles or Wentz, who would go? And I said Foles would, even though he won the Super Bowl MVP last year and will probably win it this year. Or if they win it this year, he would win MVP, I'm sure. But then you get – the reason why is because everybody fell in love with Carson Wentz those first 10 games or whatever he played the last season. Everybody fell in love with him so quick, and then he's hurt. Foles would be the better choice, but they're going to stick with Wentz because everybody fell in love with him. That's kind of how I see the SEC is they fell in love with Bama, the story of Bama and Georgia. But what you see happening too, which I don't like, is you'll see teams like LSU, Auburn, who are decent teams. And granted, these teams would kill, you know, the Pac-12 teams like Washington and those guys. We saw that already. Alabama did kill Washington last year, you know, and Washington was better last year than this year. But what you see is LSU or Auburn, and they'll lose two games in a row, and they'll lose to some bad teams, or they'll lose to Florida, or they'll lose to one another, and they'll drop them to 17, and then they'll play some team, and they'll kill that team, and it won't be a good team. But then the next week they're playing Alabama, who's sitting at number one, and they will jump these guys all the way up into the top 10, sometimes even up into the top 5 right before they play Alabama just to make this game better. You know, and then they're like, oh, Alabama's beaten a top five team three times this year or whatever, you know, and you see Alabama's schedule at the beginning of the year and they play like Coastal Carolina and teams like that who nobody's CU could beat them, you know, like it's those types of teams. And so they hype them up and they make the SEC up to be this huge juggernaut. And then they go into the bowls. And I think I saw, I could be wrong, but I think I saw that they ended up 6-6 this year. And one of those bowl wins was from Alabama, Oklahoma, when Alabama beat Oklahoma right before they went to play Clemson. But you see what happens when they play top teams. Clemson smashed them and then Texas destroyed Georgia. And Texas, they were decent, but I think they were 17th, ranked 17th when they played Georgia, and they just crushed them. So it is interesting to see how that happens. And I would like to see the dynamic switching in the SEC where Alabama's not always on top. I'd like to see Florida come back, or teams like that be on top. Even LSU. I'm not a big LSU guy at all, but I'd like to see them be number one and Alabama dropping down.
Yeah, Georgia or South Carolina, another team to sort of replace that. I think general sports watchers are sort of tired of it, you know, and their style of play. Alabama's is very boring to me. I don't enjoy. I'll watch just hoping they'll lose like during the year, you know, and that's the only reason, but. They just move, they inch the ball forward, 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 and, you know, it's just boring football to me. I don't really like it. But I will say, when you're down there, it kind of becomes contagious. You can start watching more college football than you thought you would, you know. But yeah, I would love to see an Arkansas or somebody, like, do something rather than Alabama. That would change it up a bit, and it would make it more fun.
Now we're going to end here because this is, we're going to end with the loser of the week here because I know it's later there than here. I've still got to edit this and I'm going to get it out tomorrow, hopefully, tomorrow morning, but we're going to end here with our loser of the week. So again, my loser of the week this week is the New York Jets and the hiring of Adam Gase. If you guys want to become the Cleveland Browns of old, if you want to become the new, Oakland Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders, whatever they are now, you're on your way because you hired Adam Gase. You're drafted Sam Darnold. You've got a terrible organization. You're on your way there. You are my loser of the week. So Jordan, who is your loser of the week?
My loser of the week is somebody that I very much appreciated this past weekend. And that is Sebastian Janikowski, the kicker for the Seahawks, who, represents dad bodies everywhere, and he shows that you can be an old, out of shape man, still be in the NFL, but he is a loser. He was gonna kick a field goal. It was like a 56-yard field goal, I think it was. I got up to I thought I might be gonna watch it. I got up to go use the restroom. I came back in, found out that he had pulled his hamstring on the kick. He shanked it. And if you watch the replay, it's like he sees it, misses, and then he grabs his leg. And so, Jonathan, who we keep talking about, and you should have him as a guest sometime because he can talk sports with anybody. He's like Nick Wright before Nick Wright knew who he was. But, so Jonathan was saying, that either Janikowski was faking, that's what he was first saying, and then he said, or he's so old he didn't realize that he was hurt at first. Like he didn't make the connection. His brain didn't know what it just happened to him. So he shanked the field goal, missed it. Cowboys won by two, but it might have changed some things if he had made it because that forced the Seahawks. They had no backup, so they had to keep going for it on fourth downs because they had no way to kick a field goal. Yeah. And they scored a touchdown doing that. And then, but what made it more losery though is at the end of the game, they had a chance to, kick an onside kick. And I don't know if you saw that, but they basically just punted it softly to the Cowboys, like 20 yards downfield, and they had no way to do it. Janikowski was on the sidelines in street clothes. Which again, Jonathan and I were joking. He looked like if a Romanian was trying to dress like an American thug of some kind. That's how he was dressed on the sideline, and he was spitting into his dip cup watching the game, the rest of the game. And so yeah, I'm gonna give him loser of the week.
That's a good pick, man. Sebastian Janikowski, you are a loser this week. Now, remember, guys, we're going to wrap up here. Remember that if you disagree, you agree, you just want to say something to us, go on to anchor.fm/GodReignsSportscast. And there, on there, there is a place for you to send in a voice message to the show. Let me know what you're thinking about it.
And do give some losers of the week too. That would be cool if we're overlooking even bigger losers than the ones we found.
Yeah. If you guys have losers of the week, like if you said, no, Cliff Kingsbury is a worse hire in Arizona, they are the loser. Call it in. Let me know. Pick some losers of the week. I want to hear it. We're going to get some other guests on here. Now, remember, we all love sports. We love to watch them play them. We like to yell at people. We like to deem people losers of the week and things like that. It's fun. We get into it. But in the end, it's a game. It's a game. And that is part of the reason why I named this sportscast the God Reigns Sportscast, because God still reigns no matter the outcome of the game. It doesn't feel like it at the time sometimes, especially when the Ravens win. It feels like the devil is controlling that. So, but we've got to know that God still reigns. So thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed this sportscast. We're going to talk all sports, like I said, except NASCAR and women's sports, because, you know, who cares about NASCAR and women's sports? So we're going to talk basketball. We're going to talk baseball. Football's the big thing right now. We'll even talk hockey. If somebody knows anything about soccer, you can talk about it and I'll listen. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. And thanks for listening. God bless.